We have a lot to talk about with Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, that is with us. Thank you, Kenny, for being here.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. How are you, Katya?
Oh, we are well. I feel like we've crossed this huge mountain and we are maybe heading down the other side. I will say it has been a wild week. The wind may be the biggest story. When you pass people on the street these days, what you hear is enough of the wind. It was, and actually we had a friend from Texas who had dinner with us one night, and he said it was actually not that unsimilar to living through a hurricane in that it went crazy, crazy northeast, and then there was a pause, if pretty calm, and then it came roaring out of the southwest. Yeah, I don't even know how to describe the wild night. I guess it was it Tuesday night? The night that we had thunder, hail. It kind of went from a blizzard feel. The whole day of Tuesday was a blizzard feel with tons of crazy snow coming right off, going horizontally. And then suddenly in the night there's thunder and you can hear rain or hail or something hitting the windows. And woo, it was an event. And as I think it was probably everywhere, but it was just the wind, wind. But now we hear it's going to warm up and get sunny, so we're kind of happy about that.
Yeah, it was a wild storm, and there was footage. Of course, there's always great footage from the Duluth Harbor, but
yeah,
60 mile an hour wind gusts were not that hard to come by during the height of that storm. It was just a really. It wasn't. What was interesting was it was very wound up.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about low pressure systems and cyclones, and of course those are the same, and usually our really strong winds are associated with really strong, meaning deep low pressure cyclones. And this one was strong more because of what's called the pressure gradient, which is how fast the pressure changes from the low pressure in the middle to higher pressure around the cyclone. And so this was a large storm, but it also had a very tight pressure gradient. Mm. So it wasn't particularly deep. We measure the depth of these weather systems. Well, we measure pressure in millibars scientifically. So you kind of think of inches of pressure. That's what you hear usually on the news, inches of mercury.
Yeah.
But it's actually, we measure it in millibars. It's just the standard. It's related to, you can actually relate it directly to the unit called an atmosphere, one atmosphere, or you can relate it to the other kind of SI or standard international units of scientific measurements. In any case, kind of average pressure is around 1,010, 1,015 millibars. And a good low pressure system will be around usually 990, maybe a little bit lower. This one came up in the kind of mid 980s. So it was a strong, strong low pressure system, but it had such a tight gradient that you just had these incredible winds, just like you mentioned, kind of in two phases. The first was on the front side of the storm as it was approaching. It was actually still a couple hundred miles away from you. And then that second blast of wind was was right after the center of that cyclone passed right over you. I mean, it went through Minneapolis and Duluth and Two Harbors. So we got cored by it, as we say. Yeah, and so you end up on the back side of it. I mean, I was biking home on Wednesday night, and there was what we would normally call flurries, right? Like light snow, kind of like a meandering snow globe type of, you know, except for the 50-mile-an-hour wind.
Right.
It was like a miniature blizzard, and that's here in St. Paul. Out in the open areas, it was very easy to hit 55 miles an hour. And once you got up on the lake, I don't have offhand. I know that the Duluth Harbor topped 60 miles an hour. I think Grand Marais also topped 60 miles an hour. And probably, you know, there's one of the bridges in Duluth is higher up and always has some, you know, astronomical wind gust that they measure. That's not an official report, but it's always fun to see. Yeah, very windy system. And did you get a lot of ice with that because there were sheets of ice forming in, I know in Duluth and in the areas just south of Duluth, it rained hard and froze thick. Did you have any of that kind of problem,
yeah,
or was it mostly the kind of sleety hail?
Yeah, I don't think we ever had what you described. We were kind of, I mean, it would have been at night. We had all our excitement was really at night of non-snow. But when we woke up, I mean, there was the snow was crusty enough you could walk on top of it. But it was, I don't think there was freezing rain per se, because as soon as the roads were plowed, suddenly it was almost dry. Like, that's the other wild thing about a storm like this in April is not only it was plowed, but it was dry by noon. The roads were, and it didn't. And we still have a lot of ice coating along the shoreline where the spray really made fantastic ice. But I don't think we ever had a period of anything but there was hail, there was sleet, and there was a lot of snow.
Sure.
That's just my sense.
Yeah.
So would this have looked like if looking at this from the universe, looking down, would mm-hmm. this have looked like a hurricane, like the same swirling low, essentially?
Yeah, so these things get compared to hurricanes a lot, and they're cousins. They
okay.
are, you know, a hurricane is a type of low pressure system. The main difference is when you look at a hurricane, generally, not always, but, you know, especially when they're kind of reaching their peak intensity and they have that eye forming,
yep.
they're pretty close to being symmetrical. And that's because they actually are driven entirely by heat, and they don't have those warm and cold air interactions forming them and driving them the way that our weather systems do. So if you look at a hurricane, you know, I mean, they're not perfectly symmetrical, but they're pretty close.
Yep.
And the ones that aren't, that's actually kind of a sign of poor health of a hurricane or a tropical storm. If it looks kind of oblong or if it's really asymmetrical, that's kind of how the forecasters know that this thing's been kind of knocked off of its footing a little bit. And you know, it's actually the symmetry that helps a hurricane maintain some of its intensity and power and destructive potential. Now, our cyclones are, here's a fun word for everyone to take to their social outings this weekend. Our cyclones are driven by something called, you ready for this? It's called baroclinic instability. but what it really means is a big fancy word. You know, it's even fancier if you say baroclinicity. But this is kind of a fancy way of saying that the pressure lines that we draw around, you know, around the center of the cyclone, they actually are perpendicular to the temperature lines. And what that really means is that the temperature and pressure are interacting in a way that actually intensifies the storm. So our cyclones are actually, they will weaken if they don't have a sufficient temperature contrast to draw from. You know, so if it's warm to the south and kind of mild to the north, there isn't the change in air temperature and density that helps fuel our cyclones. And all of this matters because, like, if you look at a hurricane from space, you'll see kind of symmetrical mass of clouds rotating quickly around that little eye.
Right.
And if you look at one of our cyclones, you'll tend to see similar counterclockwise rotation of clouds over usually a larger area, usually more oblong, and sometimes making that kind of comma shape. I don't know if you've heard weather, you know, forecasters or meteorologists talk about a big comma-shaped weather system.
Mm.
And that's because the cold air, you know, pushes into the warm air and it kind of deforms the whole shape of it. So only rarely and somewhat by coincidence do our low-pressure systems look, you know, kind of identical to or really strikingly similar to hurricanes. Usually, because they're fueled by different mechanisms, they usually look a little bit differently. Ours tend to be oblong, kind of comma-shaped, or, if I could say it, like kind of a Nike swoosh turned kind of, you know, like oriented more vertically with the swooshy part pointing to the left, whereas, you know, again, a hurricane will look pretty much, you know, kind of just round.
Yeah.
With little spikes coming out often on the south end and the north end. But
Right.
Yeah, so you'd see the rotation, and you'll often see a center of rotation for our weather systems, our low-pressure systems, that does appear to be like an eye, and it's kind of for the same reason. Right in the center of that circulation, you often have almost no vertical movement whatsoever, and you just have kind of still air that is not forming clouds and precipitation. And then as soon as that circulation passes, you get, you know, back into the winds, back into the, this is even true in some large tornadoes, by the way. Like, if you could, you don't ever want to be in the center of a large tornado. That would be really, really bad. But when they've been able to measure them, and the old original tornado scientist, Dr. Tetsuya or Ted Fujita, actually found that large tornadoes have a very small eye, and this is just the same thing that happens with any vortex, where, you know, at some point all those upward motions become, they're all around a center, but in that actual center you have maybe even falling motions, and you don't have, you know, so you don't have the worst of the hurricane right in the eye, you don't have the worst of the low pressure system right at its center. And even in some tornadoes, but certainly not all of them, there's a very brief reprieve from the violence, right in the middle.
Yeah. And so I'm gathering it's not a coincidence that this, you say that the temperature differential is what gives it its power. And it seems like we really are headed for some warmer temperatures. Is that not a coincidence that that's coming after this whopper?
Well, that's a good point, and that's also why our transition seasons, the fall and the spring, tend to have so many of these big, windy, powerful weather systems, because you have the cold air, you know, in this case, cold air left over up to our north that's still, you know, kind of feeling a little bit like winter, but then this surge of summertime conditions coming up from the south. So we do tend to get fairly strong low-pressure systems when all the other ingredients come together this time of year. So yeah, that is partially related. And you know, you mentioned that we got over the other side of this mountain and everything, you know, coming down from it. And I thought that was a really good metaphor, because there's a lot of things that are going to be, a lot of water is going to be coming down from the mountains and the hills in the next week or two. If the listeners haven't heard yet, then I'm happy to break the news to them that next week is going to be incredibly warm over much of Minnesota, and we are going to melt a lot of snow. And this has, you know, benefits and some drawbacks too. The hydrology forecaster for the Weather Service in Chanhassen cautioned that the warm up, especially in central and southern Minnesota, is potentially so fast that they don't have a way to model how quickly the snow is going to melt and go flow into streams. And, you know, mercifully there's no huge rainfall coming with that, but there's going to be a lot of snow coming off the ground, turning into torrents of water. Some of that water is going to go into the ground, but it's going to be a big melt next week. You're going to hit 60 pretty easily in most areas in northern, northeastern Minnesota, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, and, you know, multiple days where the entire, you're well above freezing the whole time. So big warm-up coming.
Yeah, it's just hard to imagine with this huge refrigerator of a snowpack burying us, but that's what they say. And so we'll see it come, and I guess we should all go look at the rivers and see what's happening in our river gorges along the North Shore as far as flooding. And, I mean, hopefully the flooding won't be too terrible, but I guess that's what everyone's preparing for.
Yeah, I would imagine that you'll have torrents and potentially dangerous cascades in those areas where where you might be watching from a bridge that's relatively close to the river. Just be careful. We had some problems with that last year, and the snowpack is as big in most of northeastern Minnesota, maybe even a little bigger in some areas than it was at this time last year. So, you know, if you got a good, safe place to watch, it'll be a sight to behold. But this is a lot of water. It'll have a huge destructive force if it really comes off as quickly as it looks like it's going to.
All right.
And this doesn't mean that the snow season is over either. I'll just leave that one right there.
Okay. We'll leave that with that. Thanks so much, Kenny. We'll talk to you next week.
Always good talking to you. Thanks, Katya.
Bye-bye. Yep. That was Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.